Search for Deep Sleepscapes on the BBC Sounds app and drift off to the ambience of a woodland walk. Or falling rain. You can even choose to travel the globe. Close your eyes and absorb the sounds of Africa. Or Antarctica. Deep Sleepscapes. Listen only on the BBC Sounds app.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's time now for our drama. Dr. Will Tosh, researcher and lecturer at Shakespeare's Globe Theatre, introduces Jude Cook's new play, The Rival.
In 1609, the publisher Thomas Thorpe released Shakespeare's Sonnets, a collection of 154 poems and the longer A Lover's Complaint. I wish I could tell you that the Jacobean literary world stopped on its axis to debate the identity of the sonnet's addressees, but it seems the collection arrived without comment, despite Shakespeare's celebrity at the time. It may be that the reading public was shocked into silence by the poem's eroticism, which is by turns intensely queer and aggressively straight. Or perhaps Shakespeare just missed the high point of the sonnet craze, which had begun to wane a decade previously. But the sonnets have since become the most anthologized of Shakespeare's words, memorized, recited, and translated around the world. Unlike Shakespeare's plays, with their hundreds of individualized characters, the sonnets give the impression that it is Shakespeare himself who speaks the line, "Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?" That allure of biography naturally makes us go looking for the thee. And scholars have done their best to oblige, helping to set an orthodox reading of the sonnets that has the first 126 addressed to a beautiful young man, and the final 28 written to a bewitching dark lady. As well as the lovers, the sequence presents us with another character, a rival poet, possessor of a golden quill, who can capture the young man's perfections with even more dazzling verse. There's been no shortage of potential claimants to the lover roles, from the Earl of Southampton to the poet Emilia Lanier, with Christopher Marlowe or even Ben Jonson in contention as the rival poet. That seemingly self-revelatory eye in "Shall I compare thee to a summer's day" is certainly very hard to resist. But Shakespeare's sonnets frustrate an autobiographical reading even as they invite one. It's likely that the real-life inspirations were diffused across three decades, and likely too that Shakespeare, the greatest dramatic ventriloquist in the English language, combined exquisite life drawings with creative inventions of his own. But if he is an invention, then the speaker of the sonnets, desiring, despairing, sometimes a little deranged, is a creation of genius as transcendent as Hamlet or Juliet. And we'll carry on asking questions about him and his lovers for many years to come.
You think I'll weep? No, I'll not weep. I have full cause of weeping. But this heart shall break into 100,000 flaws, or ere I'll weep. Blow, winds, and crack your cheeks.
Blow, winds, and crack your cheeks. You cataracts and hurricane spout till you have drenched our steeples. I tax not you, you elements, with unkindness. I never gave you kingdom, called you children. Here I stand, your slave, a poor, infirm, weak, and despised old man.
What do you think? I've seen the play many times, but never in such conditions.
The man is a genius.
Tell me more.
The most noble and heart-rending drama. However, I cannot say the same for his new poems. Whinings of a catamite, if you ask me.
I believe he poured his heart into them.
To whom do I owe this pleasure?
My name is... But I must away. I've spied an old friend.
The Rival by Jude Cook. With Elliot Barnes-Worrell as William Shakespeare and Freddie Fox as the Earl of Southampton.
My lord.
How could you? You gave me your solemn word that you would never circulate our sonnets beyond your private friends.
I promise I played no part in their publication.
A lie.
On my life.
Then who printed them?
A rogue named Thomas Thorpe. I would never betray you.
You have form, sir, when it comes to perfidy.
As do you.
My mother said never trust a poet.
Your mother was wise in many matters, but wrong in that respect.
Our intimate poems are now read by all and sundry.
Rosalie.
Never address me thus again. I'm the Earl of Southampton to you.
Once you begged me to address you so.
That was 20 years past. You barely know me now.
I know you better than any other.
Unhand me, sir.
Remember Titchfield. Remember me.
I am a man more sinned against than sinning.
Where shall I stable her?
We do that here, sir. Encountered some weather, did we?
My dear Lord Burley, I must thank you for entrusting my son to me for so long.
Nay, speak not of it, Mary. You are his mother, after all.
But he is your ward.
The Titchfield country air will replenish his soul after years at Cecil House. It's done me wonders after a weekend. And, of course, he must marry my granddaughter.
Well, how are we to persuade him? Is she ready?
Presently. She's with my son Robert.
Father,
did you provide a poet?
Yes.
With no scent for the best?
After Marlowe,
that cobbler's son from Canterbury.
Father, Kit Marlowe is the most renowned in London, and he was at Cambridge with me and the young Earl.
This one's a glover's son from Warwickshire, or so I've heard.
Bring me to him. Let's see if this glover can fit the paw of a recalcitrant pup.
William Shakespeare, Father.
My lord.
I have heard his name.
Oh, you will.
Could you not have found me one less muddy?
It is verse he is contracted for. Clothes do not make the man.
And how old is he?
I am 26, sir.
You see, he can speak for himself.
Very well. Let us proceed. Narcissus, take a moment from admiring yourself in the glass.
My lord, allow me to present William...
We've met before.
Where?
At your house. On the Strand.
So I recall, my lord, Southampton, I...
Please, do not address me as such.
Forgive me. How shall I know you?
You may call me Rosalie, as does the rest of the world. Except my mother, of course.
Henry.
Ah, Elizabeth has arrived.
Ah, welcome.
Thank you, madam.
The impudent fool is 17 on Friday. How many sonnets can you compose by then? The same number?
On what theme, sir?
Marriage, of course.
'Tis Tuesday now. What say you, 5 a day and 2 more on the festive day itself?
Splendid. That makes a full compliment. And foremost to attend, they must make her big.
Big?
Yes, to grow big, with child.
I will do your bidding.
You are filthy. Find some fresh attire. Gentlemen and fair ladies, let us allow our charges to become better acquainted. Away!
Oh. Damn you, Petrarch. Start again. Number 1. From fairest of men we thus crave children. From fairest fair youth we thus desire issue. No. from various creatures we desire increase, that thereby beauty's flower. That thereby beauty's rose might never die. Thy youth's proud livery so gazed on now will be a tattered weed of small worth held. This were to be new made when thou art old, and see thy blood warm when thou feel'st it cold.
The Countess awaits.
Oh, yes, coming. Look in thy glass and tell the face thou viewest. Now is the time that face should form another. But if thou live remembered not to be, thy single and thine image dies with thee. For never resting, time leads the summer on, and nothing gainst time's scythe can make defense, save breed to brave him when he takes thee hence.
Breakfast is served!
Yes. You know you had a father, let your son say so, who will believe my verse in time to come. If I could write the beauty of your eyes, and in fresh numbers number all your graces, the age to come would say this poet lies. But were some child of yours alive that time, you should live twice in it and in my damn rhyme. It's done.
Master Shakespeare! The Earl expects you!
My lord!
Shh! She plays well, does she not?
Elizabeth is without compare. I have your sonnets. Here.
Wait. I have something for you, too.
A locket.
Well, open it.
The likeness is most...
A Hilliard portrait. As a token of my gratitude. It pleases me not. My cheeks are too red.
My good lord...
Rosalie.
My good Rosalie. I shall value it higher than rubies. I will take my leave then.
More ale, Will. I haven't seen you in months.
Thank you kindly. I've been away, deep in the country.
Seeing the wife.
Not exactly.
Uh-oh, up to no good then. I know you, poets. You have company. I will leave you gentlemen to sport amongst yourselves.
There he is.
Kit Marlowe!
Hey!
My dear Will, you never respected a low ceiling.
Indeed.
You have brought Robert Greene.
Hard knocks are plenty in this game.
Is but a scratch.
He jests at scars that never felt a wound.
Still writing in the tavern.
Three candles.
What's the latest?
Love's Labour's Won.
Good title. But your real gift is for comedy.
It is a comedy.
Oh. What about Plautus, the master? Write something after him. You never know.
But only take on loan. Don't cut purse from the great. We know your magpie habits.
Enough. You are to see my Tamburlaine now.
Again?
At Shoreditch. Come, come!
Come on!
Has Cecil paid you yet?
Does it appear so?
May you sleep out this great gap of time till he does.
Oh, no sleep for me. I am to return to Stratford tomorrow, to my children.
Now, Will, you know what I said about your obligations.
That I should neglect them, yes. But I'm afraid that's where we differ.
In other respects, too.
Ignore him, Will. I love you nonetheless for your tedious sense of responsibility.
And I you, Kit.
Ugh, my gorge rises. Come, we shall be late for the Scythian.
Come on!
Father! Father!
Susanna!
I've missed you.
Where is your mother?
Inside, with the twins. She says you're not in her good books.
When am I ever?
She says you've betrayed your vows and that you never write.
I do little else. Writing, that is.
Not that kind of writing, Father. Come, dinner is ready.
What do you mean you cannot marry, boy? You are old enough, as is she. Get to it.
Elizabeth is vain, full of conceit, and too pitiless by far for me to marry. Do you not agree, Robert?
Vain, did you say?
Yes.
And what of your birthday sonnets? Did they not persuade you?
I confess I did not peruse them.
Get out! And do not affront me so again.
It is not that he cannot marry Elizabeth, more that he cannot marry.
Whatever do you mean?
He is not disposed to.
Ah, I see. Find me a mole.
What? From the riverbank?
No, you dolt, a spy. Oh. I want someone with him day and night.
Who, Father?
Get me Florio.
The Italian?
Yes. He will perform a double vigil. The Countess is a great Catholic, and the Queen cannot risk breach by the Spaniards again.
Lock up your doors! Set about, you watchmen! No persons are to leave an infected house! Lock up your doors! Get inside! No persons are to leave an infected house!
And we shall make full satisfaction. After so long grief, such nativity.
Another triumph, Will.
Thank you, Kit.
Told you comedy was king.
In truth, Green, it was Kit who...
Was that Burbage under the wimple?
Indeed.
Suits him. A fine abbess he makes.
Oops, speak of the devil.
I thank you, noble lords.
If the play continues, they will shut the theatres, Will.
It is upon us already. We close today. Mm.
Poetry and patronage only from now on. And fleeing the city to boot.
I have another commission from Southampton.
Ah, the lovely youth.
Do you seek his favour too?
Alas, I plucked him at Cambridge. Now his rose has grown thorns. He's all yours.
I love, you love, he loves. Io amo, tu ami, egli ama.
Io amo, tu ami, egli ama. Again.
Oh, so, you made it out alive.
My lord.
How long's it been since you stayed here?
I think 2 years. You have grown.
Come, let me introduce John Florio and his Lady Aline.
Enchanting. A poet can enchant, a husband can only provide.
Poets are poor, my dear, and this one looks to be no exception. What's your name, sir?
Shakespeare. William Shakespeare.
Ah, I have seen your Henrys, all three parts.
And I have read your First Fruits, which I admire greatly. You are at the play much, sir?
never away from it when in Shoreditch.
He's like a lovesick fool who cannot resist his mistress.
If that is so, my dear, then the stage is a wench who has wooed you also.
It's true. I cannot resist a strutting player.
Enough. My lord, what say you we continue?
Oh, not I. 'Tis sufficient for the day. So, Will, have you a theme? For the work, I mean?
I do. From Ovid. His Venus and Adonis.
Then I have the first. Come, you shall write me a great poem. But first, we should get better acquainted. Do you hunt?
Mother, he has shown me through the hole.
Come now, children. Put your bows and arrows away.
Yeah! Keep up, Will! Follow the hounds!
Yes! Yes! Right behind you!
Bullseye! You make a fine bowman.
I am country bred, my lord.
Come on, Will! Join the dance!
I would rather watch you, sir.
As you wish. But do not fritter your life standing sentinel. You must live! Io amo tu ami egli ama.
Shall I make fair comparison? Would that I could compare thee. Ugh, it will not come. Ugh, morning so soon. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometime declines. By chance, or nature's changing course untrimmed, but thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest, nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee.
Good morrow.
Oh, the poet.
Come join us on the grass. The sun is lovely.
Rosalie is going to teach me to ride.
A most excellent notion, Madame Florio, if his instruction is honest.
What do you intend by that?
Honest with a true aim, sir.
I like its sound. If only I knew what it meant. Have you been writing?
Constantly. My wrist aches.
Time for your lesson, master.
Oh, I'm cold. I must bid you both farewell.
They tell me you are from the West Country. It is not much in your voice.
It can be, sir, if the right man brings it out.
It pleases my ear. And your family is long established?
Alas, I am not of noble stock. Though Samuel Daniel is my brother, so I know a little about poets.
Daniel, the writer of Delia, the famous sonneteer.
The same. He is a success everywhere.
He shall soon overtake Sidney.
I love Sir Philip Sidney's poems, so bursting with passion. Tell me, do you abide by his injunction?
What might that be?
That a poet must only look into his heart and write. I must attend to my brood. Help me up. Oh, my footing.
My lady.
Please, call me Aline.
I see the Earl dances with your wife, Florio. Oh,
Santa Maria. She's wanton.
Think you so?
You are the poet. What do you think?
I think your wife is a beautiful woman with many a chaste virtue.
You have a lot to learn. And not just about love, sir. I was at your two gentlemen last year.
You were?
I was, and I can tell you, Milano and Verona are not separated by water.
They're not?
I could teach you much about Italy, more than the boy. A nature upon whom nurture cannot stick. Tell me, are you John Shakespeare's son from Stratford?
What of it?
I heard certain of that town's inhabitants were involved in popish matters. But before your time, perhaps. An Italian is privy to such knowledge.
I know not what
you... The patient's mother requires small conference with the poet.
Then I shall withdraw, your lady.
Your son dances so well.
Oh, he does. He was finely instructed in that, at least. Master Shakespeare, there is a chapel in the grounds for the old faith. You may go if you wish, should you find the need. But only after midnight, when it is safe to. You will find the priest there at that time.
Thank you, Countess. I will bear it in mind.
To the woods!
We will lose her there. We should turn back.
Oh, be bold, man! A boar may be armed with tusks, but we carry spears. Have you a lion's heart?
I have, sir. Lead on.
We will scout a course by the river. Pia! Our quarry is gone.
She was never there, perhaps.
Well, how goes the work?
It has promise, my lord.
Oh, tell me.
Well, there is Venus.
Yeah, I know that much.
And she is in love with a rose-cheeked Adonis.
Splendid. And he rejects her love?
Precisely. But being so enraged, desire doth lend her force courageously to pluck him from his horse.
Oh, your verse is honey.
Over one arm, the lusty courser's rein. Under her other was the tender boy, who blushed and pouted in a dull disdain.
Ooh.
With leaden appetite, unapt to toy.
Foolish boy.
She read and hot as coals of glowing fire. He read for shame, but frosty in desire.
Wonderful, wonderful. How does it end?
You will have to read it.
Shh. Look, we found her.
Shall we alert the company?
No. Let her live. Come. Let's away. Come on.
Oh, carve not with thy hours my love's fair brow, nor draw no lines there with thine antique pen. Him in thy course untainted do allow, for beauty's pattern to succeeding men. Yet do thy worst, old time, despite thy wrong. My love shall in my verse ever live young. Where is your locket?
So finely done. Such a likeness. A woman's face, with nature's own hand painted. The master mistress of my passion. My glass shall not persuade me I am old. But I am old. In his eyes, at least. It is midnight. Father?
My son?
I have committed a sin.
Pray, tell.
I am in love. In love with one of my own kind.
Does he know of your ardor?
He does not, Father. He was made for women's pleasure only. You laugh at me for this. Does God laugh at me? Rosalie!
I have my answer.
My lord, I will leave Titchfield at your earliest bidding.
Nonsense. You will stay here.
With your kiss, you have given me your heart. Not to give back again.
Laura. I ask, you ask, they ask.
Io chiedo, tu chiedi, ella chiede.
No. Io chiedo, tu chiedi, ella chiede. Again.
Good sirs, I am here to learn.
Ah.
I thought you were returning to Stratford.
Tomorrow.
Very well. You may stay.
And I have something for the Earl. My work in progress.
Oh, how thrilling.
It has been a labor of love, my lord.
Henry, Florio, Master Shakespeare. May I introduce the translator and poet, George Chapman? He too is seeking patronage.
The more the merrier.
And he is writing something learned.
And I am not.
I will leave you all to get better acquainted.
Good sir, if your wit be plentiful and my mother consents, then Titchfield is yours.
He will be staying.
Aye. While plague rages in the city, I will exchange negotium for otium.
You have a business in the city.
He is quoting Horace, Master Shakespeare. He is not a businessman.
He is a fellow writer, Will.
Scholar.
I am aware of your poem, The Shadow of Night. It was indeed a poor and strange trifle.
Will, you insult our new guest.
They were the words of his dedication. To Royden, as I recall.
So they were.
Chapman is a member of the School of Night.
So you know Marlowe? And Green?
Of course. And Raleigh and Dr. John Dee? Bosom companions all. Sweet analytics, 'tis thou hast ravished me.
Ah, Faustus in his study.
Yeah.
I have, of course, encountered you once before, sir, at Durham House.
I recall it well, Florio. You are still working on your Montaigne?
A lifetime's project.
Montaigne? I did not know you were engaged with him.
Why would you? It is not common knowledge.
My dear Will, there are many necessary secrets in this house. Surely you must know that by now.
I do.
Well, let us continue. Good sir, pray join us. Feel free to peruse our myriad volumes.
Thank you. I shall relish the chance. And may I say, your library is as well proportioned as you, my lord.
Let those who are in favour with their stars of public honour and proud titles boast,
whilst I, whom fortune of such triumph bars...
Father?
Susanna, will you give this to Greenway? The carrier is outside.
Yes, Father. What does that address say?
It says Titchfield House, Hampshire. Lord of my love, to thee I send this written embassage. Susanna, will you convey this to Greenway?
Another? There were two last week.
Weary with toil, I haste me to my bed. The dear repose for limbs with travel tired. But then begins a journey in my head. When in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state.
Father.
Susanna, will you...
Another three this week. Why, of course, Father.
And trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries, and look upon myself and curse my fate, wishing me like to one more rich in hope, featured like him with friends possessed, desiring this man's art and that man's scope, with what I most enjoy, contented least, yet in these thoughts myself almost despising. Haply I think on thee, and then my state, like to the lark at break of day arising, from sun and earth sings hymns at heaven's gate. For thy sweet love remembered such wealth brings, that then I scorn to change my state with kings.
What does Florio report?
That the boy dances with many, women and men, though he chooses none.
'Tis grave. Go on.
And that the Countess is still visiting with a priest.
Ah. And?
And that two poets now vie for the Earl's patronage.
Ah! I will cripple him. Ungrateful pup. A fine.
A fine, Father?
Yes, when he comes into his inheritance.
Will it trouble his coffers?
I'll see that it shall. Two poets in his pay, and my granddaughter's still a maid. Bah!
He has what?
He plans to tax you, madam, or rather the Earl.
To what cost?
£5,000, with immediate effect on the Earl's 21st birthday.
Oh, he shall ruin us. No one must know.
As you wish. Apologies, madam, but Chapman is asking, will the blind beggar of Alexandria go ahead tonight? It is Chapman's own work, and he is to perform the lead.
Of course, it must. The Titchfield plays are a family tradition, and one that Lord Burleigh shall not spoil.
So let us go to frolic in our court, carousing free whole bowls of Greekish wine, in honour of the conquest we have made, that at our banquet all the gods may tend, lauding our victory and this happy end.
Our triumph, sir. It will play and play. But your eyes, open them.
I cannot. I am a blind and helpless beggar.
You must. Do it for me. Allow me to help.
With your touch, I am sighted.
Oh, Will, poet mine, you have returned and you have missed a performance that will echo down the ages.
A word, sir? You were flirting with him.
I was merely giving a blind man sight.
A rose has thorns, I see that now. I feel them too, Rosalie. They prick me deeply. Soon I will need a surgeon.
I do believe you are jealous.
Not of his acting.
Oh, come, we must join the celebrations.
He gulls you with intelligence. Chapman is a learned fool. The world contains many, as you will discover.
I am his worthy patron, as I am yours.
Your trespass is not great, but a trespass still.
Will. Will, do not turn your back on me. It is you I love.
You do?
Yes. With all my heart.
read it back to me, Rosalie?
Like as the waves make to the pebbled shore, so do our minutes hasten to their end.
More.
Each changing place with that which goes before, in sequent toil all forwards do content. It's Ovid. It's the Metamorphoses. Nothing is permanent in all the world.
More or less.
Oh, why were the old poets so obsessed with time?
Because time waits for no man.
Not even us?
I'm afraid not.
Maybe the gods will make an exception.
If we stay true, perhaps they will.
I cannot believe today will ever end. And where did you learn such boatmanship?
On the Avon. I finished your poem, by the way.
You have?
And what's more, I have a publisher, a friend in London.
Oh, Will! And you're still to perform your new play tonight?
Yes, if Chapman's triumph does not render it obsolete.
It won't.
Good. Now recite me some more Ovid. The gods be damned.
Time is itself a river, in constant motion, and the hours flow by, like water, wave on wave, pursued and pursuing, forever fugitive, forever new.
Oh no! Alas, I rather hate myself, for hateful deeds committed by myself. I am a villain, and yet I lie. I am not.
Ah, Will, there you are.
It is a failure.
It was confused in places, I grant you, but you played the Crookback King so well.
Well, I disagree. It was not the poetry so much, rather the performance.
And a devil appearing to tell a ruler of his bloody deeds. In a dream.
It is in the Chronicles, Chapman.
And the king, lame.
It's in the Chronicles, too.
You must show Richard as a great Machiavel from the start. A schemer, not a shouter. Be subtle, Master Shakespeare.
Take a cue from my blind beggar. No melodrama there.
Oh, I know. Instead of a devil, how about ghosts of the two princes he has offed?
Oh, yes! Oh.
I shall consider it.
The Earl has learned something after all these months. Yeah.
Bring out your dead! Bring out your dead!
Mary Robert Green, you've turned vagabond.
Turned? Carry me, woman.
Oh, you're too heavy.
Wench, I was always that. Here. Come taste the kiss of a rogue.
Get the eggs. There's fish on your breath.
Herrings, madam. Forgive me. I fear I am not at my best.
Help! Someone help us! Please!
Kit Marlowe, I invite you to Titchfield but once and you drink us all under the table.
Ah, practice, dear friend. Study and practice.
More wine.
So, here's the latest word. The famous Green is taken ill, ails quickly, then expires. But not of the plague or of the pox.
Don't tell me. Of bad poetry.
No, not of that either. But from, and note this, a surfeit of pickled herring and reddish wine.
Oh, trust Robert Green to die of an outlandish assailant.
'Tis apt, no, Chapman?
A bitter man and a poor playwright.
And you would know.
What was that, Shakespeare?
The only man in London to cheat the Reaper and then die by his own hand. I propose a toast.
To Green.
Green.
Wait, there's more. On his deathbed in Shoemaker Lane, he produces this, now published.
A flimsy pamphlet. Oh, his most esteemed achievement.
I, a whole pamphlet entitled Green's Groatsworth of Wit, no less.
Most excellent.
I should not give him a groat for his masterpiece.
Half a groat. In which he attacks all and sundry, actors and scribes both, including our dear friend William here.
Oh. Oh, pray, read to us. How bad can it be?
Believe me, it will be bad.
If I may, yes. Trust them not, for there is an upstart crow, beautified with our feathers, that, with his tiger's heart wrapped in a player's hide...
No, give it here. Allow me to read the remainder. Supposes he is as well able to bombast out a blank verse as the best of you.
I do not care to hear the rest.
And being an absolute jack of all trades, is in his own conceit the only shake scene in the country.
No, that has to be you, Will.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, let us deal softly with our fellow poet. I see we have offended Will mightily. He is the most sensitive soul of us all.
'Tis Green who hath caused the offence, not us.
The pamphlet has a point, though. Learning and reputation come at a cost, one we have all paid.
Oh, it's not Will's fault he did not gain a Master of Arts along with us. He's one of the new breed.
Aye, the breed that, like the crow, filches. But not with his beak, with his pen!
Gentlemen, I bid you good night. My lord. Kit.
Now, Will.
Will! Oh, come back! I beg you to return!
I will never drink again. Neither sack, nor ale, nor insults.
No, Madame Florio. Pray, do not stop.
Oh, sir, I shall play if you demand it. But first I should prefer to know your true taste.
This morning I barely know my own name.
Then music will provide no balm. What ails you, sir?
I deserted my friend.
The Earl?
No, Kit Marlowe, my steadfast guide, my great shepherd.
He will forgive you, surely.
He has already returned to Canterbury. Oh, excuse me. I need to be seated.
You are unwell. You look unmanned, sir.
Alas, I cannot.
Alack! What ho! Help! Help!
No longer mourn for me when I am dead. Give warning to the world that I am fled from this vile world. That time of year thou mayest in me behold, when yellow leaves or none or few do hang, bare ruined choirs where late the sweet bird sang, as after sunset fadeth in the west, which by and by black night doth take away. This thou perceivest, which makes thy love more strong, to love that well which thou must leave ere long.
How are you today, Master Shakespeare?
Madame Florio, I am still with fever. Where is the Earl? He chooses not to visit me since...
He is gone to Hertfordshire.
On his own?
No, with his other poet.
Chapman?
Yes. Like you, I long for his return. But you must rest. Pray you, back to your bed.
So oft have I invoked thee for my muse, as every alien pen hath got my use. In others' works, thou dost but mend the style, but thou art all my art. and my sick muse doth give another place. I grant, sweet love, thy lovely argument deserves the travail of a worthier pen. Oh, how I faint when I of you do write, knowing a better spirit doth use your name. My saucy bark inferior far to his, whilst he upon your soundless deep doth ride. He of tall building and of goodly pride. Then if he thrive, and I be cast away. The worst was this, my love was my decay. Let him but copy what in you is writ, making his style admired everywhere. Hearing you praised, I say, 'tis so, 'tis true. Was it the proud full sail of his great verse, bound for the prize of all too precious you, that struck me dead? But when your countenance filled up his line, then lacked I matter, that enfeebled mine. Farewell, thou art too dear for my possessing, and like enough, thou know'st thy estimate.
Ah, how are you, my dear Will?
Much improved, my lady.
You look fit in every limb.
Thank you. No word of the Earl?
Only that he is still in Hertfordshire, happily sequestered with Chapman, or so I heard.
Oh, with him absent, I cannot settle on a single endeavour.
The writing will not come today?
Sadly, no, madam.
Then I shall make it come.
What do you mean?
I think you know.
I know not. Look to your children.
Let them play while we play.
No, not in here.
Why ever not, sir?
It is Rosalie's room.
But I see him not. Do you?
Master Shakespeare, Southampton has returned with Chapman and Florio.
Presently?
They are on their way.
My lord, how goes it in town? You have been gone 6 months.
Will, Marlowe is dead.
Dead?
He is no more.
How? When?
A dagger to the eye.
Nothing to be done.
In a low tavern in Deptford.
But why?
A brawl over the reckoning. I shall demand the Cecils investigate further.
What need the Cecils of investigation? Florio, share your thoughts. Deal plainly, sir.
I think it requires investigation. And I think it does not.
I cannot endure this.
Well, what is amiss?
Kit! Kit!
There is nothing to be done. He hath departed this stage of falls.
You know. How do you know?
My husband.
A wrangle over the bill, they say, for Kit to end there.
You were not to breathe a word, but there was a warrant for his arrest.
From whom?
The Privy Council, for blasphemy and atheism.
Florio!
No, my husband is merely the messenger in this. Lord Burleigh is your villain.
and we parted in bad favor. I curse myself for such peacock pride. He was the greatest of his age.
And another shall take his place. Perhaps another such as you.
How dare you defile the dead? Kit was...
But pray, to speak further of Marlowe is to put yourself in great danger.
I must at once...
Kiss me.
Here. Have you lost your wits?
There is only one cure for grief.
Every tongue should say beauty resembles you.
Oh, do not mock me with false compare. I know what I am worth, and I know what you desire.
What are you doing? Rise from your knees. We are observed.
No, we are not.
Oh, Kit.
Slow down! Listen to me!
Thou liest!
I do not, sir!
From the beginning you were with her! From the moment you set foot in my mother's house!
Tis not so!
You, a mere player, a consort of whores and vagabonds, a pretender to the crown of poet.
She tipped her hat at us both, if you do recall.
Aye. She cares not if they're young or old. All are welcome between her thighs.
My lord, her advances were made in your absence. An age that wounded me mortally.
Her advances?
Hers! And hers alone!
Oh, thou liest once more, villain!
And what matter is it now? You have Chapman to fill your idle hours.
An earl is never idle. Yeah, come out!
No! Wait! Sir, I beg you. There are those that have the power to hurt and will do none.
Oh, stop my ears.
While they move others, they themselves are stone. They have heaven's graces.
And I am one such stony god?
By heaven, I thought our love was made in heaven.
Aye, once it was, maybe, until you defiled it.
I defiled it, my lord?
With a woman!
I did not think love knew such prohibitions.
If hairs be wires, you said, then black wires grow on her head.
She sought me out.
I thought not a marble nor the gilded monuments could outlive your love.
She begged me to. Her husband is not able.
To what? To panegyrize or to perform?
Both, sir.
I should dismiss you.
My lord.
I should slander your name far and wide in every playhouse in London. Bankrupt you.
Rosalie.
I fear I cannot.
The rarer action is in virtue than in vengeance.
Give me one good reason I should not banish you hence.
Because I love you still.
I will forgive you. For now, spring is almost over. Soon the summer rains will come.
'Twas a sweet season for some.
Aye. Sweetest things can turn sourest by their deeds. Yeah, come on!
And lilies that fester smell far worse than weeds. But if thou catch thy hope, turn back to me, and play the mother's part, kiss me, be kind, so will I pray that thou mayst have thy will. If thou turn back, and my loud crying still. It will never do. Two loves I have, of comfort and despair, which like two spirits do suggest me still. The better angel is a man right fair, the worser spirit a woman coloured ill. I guess one angel in another's hell. Yet this shall I ne'er know but live in doubt, till my bad angel fire my good one out.
Your Venus and Adonis is a great success in London.
'Tis so, Chapman.
It is on every tongue. I've heard little else spoken all summer and autumn. And it has run to a second quarto.
I heard it was three.
You are the toast of the wits. 'Tis full of taffeta phrases.
What do you mean?
I mean you deployed many silken terms precise. Three piled hyperboles, spruce affectation, figures pedantical. Oh, ne intelligis, Domine.
Yes, I understand. Why would I not?
Oh, gentlemen!
My lord!
Oh, you should try apple-bobbing, my poets. It is harder than it looks.
And so is this.
I was just congratulating Master Shakespeare on his poetical triumph.
Ah, yes. You were my genius, Will. You were both my geniuses. Now, Will, I want you to write me something new.
Oh, on what matter, sir?
Something dark. Something Roman.
Tragical historical, perhaps.
How about the tragedy of Lucretia? Livy is a favourite of Florio's.
My lord, I miss your company.
Wanton woman.
If I am such, you have made me one.
Mother and John Florio, come and join our Christmas revels.
You are to cease playing games that would shame a servant.
Oh, Mother.
Aline, you must go to the children at once, if you please.
Henry, come meet our honoured guests.
Farewell, gentlemen. And don't let me down, Will.
Have I ever?
Frequently.
Come, Aline.
They leave us together again.
So it seems. But I see you have competition from Florio's wife.
A word in your ear. Stay away from the Earl, thou envious windsucker.
Chapman! Draw if thou be a man!
You have only a dagger. I'm a poet and a bachelor schoolmaster. Why would I be armed?
Your very presence here is an insult.
And yours a merry jest to all with eyes.
Sir.
Good sir, prithee drawn and in this house.
He has bloodied my nose. The man is past reason.
I am past care.
Past cure, more like. I recommend a seething bath and chastity.
Get thee hence, sir.
He flees like the sanguine coward he is.
Are you out of your wits?
Most probably.
Most definitely. Come, in here.
You neglect your brood.
And you neglect your duty.
To whom? To the Earl or to you?
To us both, sir. To decorum and good cheer and sweet sanity.
How can you talk like that?
As well as you can talk of eyes being nothing like the sun, or of your mistress's reeking breath.
You are perfidious.
It was a perfidy you invited with your verse.
You are all darkness, both in looks and deeds.
Deeds? What deed was it but love?
You torture me, and you enslave my friend.
A mere boy.
Aye, but man enough for you to make eyes at him, to paddle with his hand before his mother and your husband.
A pup.
You have broken your bed vow.
And you can prate on that subject.
Your cruel eye have taken me from myself. You are as black as night.
So I have blinded you now. You, brawling like a braggart under a nobleman's roof.
My honest faith in thee is lost.
Do not talk of faith, good sir. It was lust.
'Twas love a moment ago.
Love, lust, what difference there be?
So fair a truth on so foul a face. The expense of spirit in a waste of shame is lust in action. And till action lust is purged, murderous, bloody, full of blame, savage, extreme, rude, cruel, not to trust.
damn you, Ovid! Enjoyed no sooner than despised straight, past reason hunted, and no sooner had, past reason hated, as a swallowed bait, on purpose laid. To make the taker mad. Ow! Ouch! Mad in pursuit and in possession so. Had, having, and in quest to have extreme. A bliss in proof, and proved a very woe. Before a joy proposed behind a dream. All this the world well knows, yet none knows well to shun the heaven that leads men to this hell.
Will!
As I surmised, the two of you together.
Well, do come and join us, but lock the door first.
A pox from hell I have, your only lover's gift.
Oh, heaven forfend!
And soon to be yours too, my lord.
No, Will!
For term of life, thou art assured mine.
Will!
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Father, are you there? It is long past the midnight hour. Father, I beseech you, speak! Florio!
Leave, Master Shakespeare. Leave Titchfield at once, or bring the wide world down about your ears.
Father! But you are feverish.
Stable my horse, Susanna.
You must go to bed at once.
I fear I need a remedy more extreme. Never say that I was false of heart. Love's fire heats water, but water cools not love. For nothing this wide universe I call, save thou my rose, in it thou art my all. And perdition to her that damned me to this hell.
Father, there is report the Earl is consorting with drabs.
In the city, Robert? How can that be?
There is more traffic here now. Word is by summer it will be safe to return.
And?
And that he is enduring a seething bath in Covent Garden, sir.
Who gives this out?
Florio.
Damn the man!
Surely damn the Earl!
What else?
That none do use the Titchfield Chapel, not even the Countess.
He lies! Dismiss him.
Yes, Father.
And the moment pestilence lifts, recall the poxy pop to Cecil House.
Happy birthday, Father. The post rider has delivered.
Thank you, Susanna.
How does it feel to be 30?
Ooh, like an antique. Behind glass.
Will I be 30 one day?
Yes, my sweet, but you shall always be green.
I'm not sure I want to be 30. Who is Bubbage?
Burbage? Richard Burbage, the greatest actor of his day, or he will be.
Read it to me.
My dearest Will, this is to say that I have parted company with the villain Ned Allen
and am herewith forming my own company, in which I offer a generous share with our mutual friend, Master Kemp. Once plague is gone, we will open with great plays for court and city alike, and shall be named the Lord Chamberlain's Men. P.S. If you have a play, post haste to London.
Is it good news, Father?
The best.
Will you be leaving us again, Father?
Alas, my sweet Susanna. Yes. Oh, no, no. No, no, no. Do not weep, child. I have done nothing but in care of thee, my dear one.
That is not the truth, Father.
I know it. But you are truly all my birthdays.
Those are just words.
Words are all I have. I must go.
I shall twist his nose if he comes near me again.
'Tis already twisted, Richard.
When he looks to the left, he sees the man to his right.
I shall use that one day.
If Ned intrudes on my father's business once more, I swear I shall wield a broomstaff.
Most excellent. Only, how are we to play the rose if Alan is our enemy?
We won't. We shall put the play on here.
The theatre?
Aye.
It's a wreck.
Well, we shall renovate.
It's 20 years old.
The best is yet to come.
And a change of name?
Why alter what the public already pays for?
A principle I shall remember.
Come, let's inside.
To Rosalie. No. To Henry. To my eternal friend. To the Right Honourable Henry Rothesley, Earl of Southampton and Baron of Titchfield. The love I dedicate to your lordship is without end. What I have done is yours. What I have to do is yours, being part in all I have, devoted yours. Were my worth greater, my duty would show greater. Meantime, as it is bound to your lordship, to whom I wish long life still lengthened with all happiness. Your lordship's in all duty. William Shakespeare. To me, fair friend, you never can be old. For as you were when first your eye I eyed, such seems your beauty still. 3 winters cold have from the forest shook 3 summers' pride, 3 beauteous springs to yellow autumn turned. In process of the seasons have I seen 3 April perfumes in 3 hot Junes burned, since first I saw you fresh, which yet are green. Ah, yet doth beauty like a dial hand steal from his figure and no pace perceived. So your sweet hue, which methinks still doth stand, hath motion, and mine eye may be deceived, for fear of which, hear this, thou age unbred, ere you were born was beauty's summer dead.
Now is the winter of our discontent. Make glorious summer by this son of York, and all the clouds that lowered upon our house in the deep bosom of the ocean buried. Now,
John Florio.
Tis excellent, Master Shakespeare.
Thank you.
Better than before, at least.
Then I'm not shaped for sportive tricks, nor made to court an amorous looking glass. I, that am rudely stamped, and want love's majesty to
strike. You have informed the Privy Council?
On what matter? My wife, or the old faith?
You play with me, sir.
They that have the power to hurt and will do none.
How came you by that?
I know many things, Master Shakespeare.
I beg of you, show some mercy.
I did not breathe a word.
How can I repay you?
You can't. But, write me something set in Italy. And this time, pay heed to geography.
I was writing something French. But I can accommodate.
You write fast.
Not fast enough, it seems.
Why, I, in this weak, piping time of peace, have no delight to pass away the
something,
time.
Something about love between warring households. Two star-crossed youngsters. A tragedy.
I will do my utmost. I have a comedy underway.
Oh.
Three nobles escape to the country to study, but cannot escape love.
Ah. I know the theme.
Unless to spy my shadow in the sun and descant on mine own deformity.
'Twas an old tale.
The old ones are the best.
And therefore, since I cannot prove a lover to entertain these fair, well-spoken dames, I am determined to prove a villain.
And your wife? How is she?
My mercy has its limits, Master Shakespeare. Good day.
Dive, thoughts, down to my soul. Here Clarence comes.
My Lord Burleigh.
Sir.
You are of age, boy. 21. A man. And so have come into your inheritance. What say you thus?
Won't you sit, Father?
A man whose feet are on fire delights not in sitting.
Your fine cannot mar me, sir.
Mar? £5,000? A halberd to the gut, surely.
A flesh wound. In fact, I intend to bequeath £1,000 to a poet, so I shall not be thrifty.
Who?
When?
You spoke not of this.
To Chapman?
Surely not Shakespeare.
The selfsame. To William Shakespeare, for his share in the Lord Chamberlain's men.
Conducting yourself with the common rabble, with filthy playmakers.
'Twas you that did engage him, Father.
Shut up! Contracting a pox from a board, steamed for it in a bathhouse where everyone knows my name.
They do.
Neglecting your education, and now frittering your prosperity on the inconstant zephyrs of patronage. A scurvy villain.
'Tis ingratitude.
Oh, the years I brought you up in this very house, and now you prove a giddy, treacherous fool. 'Twill end badly, my boy. If you do not propose to marry my granddaughter, then whom?
Aye, whom?
I shall not marry your Elizabeth. No, sir. Rather, another Elizabeth.
You spoke not of this either.
I am engaged to the daughter of John Vernon and Elizabeth Devereux.
Marry Elizabeth Vernon? A maid of court?
Yes, my lord.
I will forbid it. The Queen will forbid it.
Then I shall do time in the Tower.
Your mother shall forbid it.
Are you behind your son in this?
Well, are you? Speak, madam.
If this is what my son desires, I am not against it, noble sir. Henry may have been your ward, but I brought him into the world. He is not your property.
Then the matter is closed. I shall instruct my steward to convey your payment forthwith. May it bring you both many years of felicity. Mother?
So sweet a kiss the golden sun gives not to those fresh morning drops upon the rose. Thou shinest in every tear that I do weep. Ah, Rosalie, you shall have your Roman poem in time. Where is your locket? Your cheeks are not too red. Not to my eyes. But do not love thyself, then thou wilt keep my tears for glasses and still make me weep.
Now, in thy likeness, one more fool appear.
a most barbarous intimation, yet a kind of insinuation, as it were, in via, in way of explication, facere, as it were, replication, or rather, ostentare, to show, as it were, his inclination. This is a gift that I have, simple, simple, a foolish, extravagant spirit full of forms, figures, shapes, objects, ideas, apprehensions, motions, revolutions.
Ah, George Chapman.
Florio, what brings you here? Not this doggerel, I hope.
I told you I was often at the play. But methinks, good sir, it is not William Shakespeare down there on the stage, but none other than you.
Most infallibly concludes it. Sir, I do invite you too. You shall not say me nay. Pouche, burn.
Then on every tree, mocks married men, for thus is he.
I like not that.
And now, Florio, perhaps you are on the stage too.
The words of Mercury are harsh after the songs of Apollo. You that way, we this way.
Gentlemen, we did it.
You did it, Will, with your sugared quill.
Did you see Chapman in the crowd?
I did. The play's the tool to catch the conscience of a fool.
I saw him too. He was full of gunpowder.
Oh, I did not know the aristocracy graced the house tonight.
Rosalie, it is you.
Indeed, it is I.
My lord, if you please, it's more private in here.
Ah, thank you.
I do not bear you ill.
Hush. Nor I you. Let us not talk of the past. Can you forgive me?
I can.
Then I can forgive you, too. Let perfidy be forgotten.
Most excellent.
But I must hold you to a most solemn promise.
Sir?
That you must never circulate our private sonnets in public, no matter how lucrative the opportunity might seem.
For you, I promise.
My mother said an average poet's promise is not worth the paper it's written on.
But I am not average, sir. You have my solemn word.
Good. Then it shall be our sacred covenant. But I see you are the toast of London now.
A full house, indeed.
Your labours are not lost.
In one sense, no.
I received your Roman poem.
And?
The Rape of Lucrece is a wonder. Dark matter, indeed. Except, of course, for your touching dedication.
And what of Chapman?
What of him? I thought your Holofernes an apt tribute.
I was too kind, perhaps.
I have made a bequest to the Chamberlain's men, £1,000, to invest on your behalf.
My lord.
Think nothing of it. After tonight's triumph, I wished for more generous a sum. Now Marlowe is gone, you will be the greatest of the age.
Good sir, I have nothing to give you in return.
You have given me all, my dear Will.
I am forever in your debt.
I will have you know I am to marry. And that we cannot see each other again.
Rosalie.
I am to ride to Titchfield tonight.
I will be with you in spirit.
I shall never forget you.
Nor I you.
Farewell, then.
Farewell. Wait! I do have something to give you. Here, take it.
Another poem?
One last sonnet.
Thank you.
Come. Come all to the tavern.
Aye. To the tavern.
£1,000. The drinks are on Will.
Hey!
Hey!
Let me not, to the marriage of true minds, admit impediments. Love is not love, which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark, whose worth's unknown, although his height be taken. Love's not time's fool, though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickle's compass come. Love alters not with his brief hours and weeks, but bears it out, even to the edge of doom. If this be error, and upon me proved, I never writ, nor no man ever loved.
More candles, Will. Oh. Save your eyes.
Yes, thank you. London has no kind of publican.
Still writing?
Always.
Another commission?
No. Never mix business with pleasure.
Wiser words were never spoken. I might even go to this next one.
I shall hold you to that.
France again?
Italy.
And you're a Stratford boy who's never been further than the White Cliffs.
Ah, but the journey is all up here.
Stick a sonnet in for me.
Alas, I write those no longer.
Go on. Next tankard's on the house.
In that case, I will. Two households, both alike in dignity, in fair Verona, where we lay our scene, from ancient grudge break to new mutiny, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean. From forth the fatal loins of these two foes, a pair of star-crossed lovers take their life, whose misadventured piteous overthrows doth with their death bury their parents' strife. The fearful passage of their death-marked love, and the continuance of their parents' rage, which but their children's end naught could remove, is now the 2 hours' traffic of our stage. The which, if you with patient ears attend, what here shall miss, our toil shall strive to mend.
In The Rival by Jude Cook, William Shakespeare was played by Elliot Barnes-Worrell. The Earl of Southampton by Freddie Fox. Aline Florio by Indra Ove. And Lord Burley and Robert Greene by Philip Jackson. George Chapman and Robert Cecil were played by Ben Deary. John Florio and the Landlord by Philip Arditi. Christopher Marlowe by Tim Downey. The Countess of Southampton by Christine Kavanagh. Richard Burbage by Stephen Leask. And Susanna Shakespeare by Kirsten Udall. The sound editor was Alistair McGregor, and the producer was Jeremy Mortimer. The Rival was a reduced listening production for BBC Radio 3.
This is Beethoven's Kreutzer Sonata. It's named after an aristocratic musician who never once played it, but it was written for a British violinist of African descent, George Bridgetower.
learning the piece, I got a sense that Bridge Tower was a virtuoso, to say the least.
I'm Chichi Nwaneku, and I'm on a mission to restore this work to Bridge Tower, and not just for him, but for future generations.
I was told from all sides that this was not my music. It didn't belong to me.
Reclaiming the Bridge Tower Sonata, next Sunday evening at 6:45 on Radio 3 and BBC Sounds.
You're listening to BBC Radio 3 on 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and on BBC Sounds. It's 9 o'clock and it's time now for Record Review Extra, the programme that gives you the chance to hear extended highlights from the music Andrew McGregor featured on yesterday morning's Record Review. Here's Hannah French.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Record Review Extra. Tonight we begin with a bang. Franz Waxman's brilliant Carmen Fantasy fizzing under the fingers of Korean virtuoso violinist Bom Sori.